in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk about the assurance abiding brings. The assurance abiding brings. Everybody get that?
All right.
Say it one more time. The assurance abiding brings.
That's it.
You know we've been talking. I know y'all ought to know abiding. Y'all know what it means to abide. If nothing else. Amen. Because we've been over it. But it's such a critical component of we as believers do. We want you to have a great understanding of that idea of abiding. Okay? Now let me see how well you all have been listening. When we talk about abiding, what is the illustration that we usually use?
The vine
and the branch. Yeah. Now, remember when we talk about the vine and the branch? Yeah. Vine and the branch come from John 15. Okay. Jesus said, I'm the true vine, and ye are the branches. And his Father, God the Father, is the husbandman of the garden. And he uses that because we talked about it a little bit last week. Amen. That because that branch abides in the vine, they share the same sap. Amen. And that sap brings nutrients and water and cells from the root to the fruit. Amen. But if you take that limb off the vine, because it's not getting those nutrients, it's not getting water, amen, and it's not getting the cell that run through the cell, the branch will eventually die. So abide means to get your life from something. When a person abides in Christ, is what we're trying to say, you're getting your life from Christ. You're depending on and relying on Christ for you to live the Christian life effectively and be fruitful or displaying the fruits of the Spirit which give God glory. That's our whole purpose. The purpose of our whole sojourn on earth is God's glory. To delight in it and to display it. We display God's glory and we bear much fruit. The way we bear much fruit is by abiding, relying, depending upon Christ for our life. Paul said, it's not I that live, but Christ that lives in me. It's that sap that brings the fruit. That's what he's trying to say. Well, let me put it another way. It's like your body. When were you seven? When were you called? There's something that runs through your body that gives, amen. You tug your arm off your body, it would die. Because it's the blood. Amen. Sap is like blood. Without it, your arm is going to die. When you got bad circulation, sometimes they have to work on your artery because you get bad circulation. If they didn't get the blood to circulating right in that particular limb, pretty soon that limb is going to die. So it gets, the Bible says, the life of the body is in the blood. Okay? Well, let me use enough. But I want y'all to understand why abiding is so important. If you got an electronic device, then, amen, you have to plug it in. serve. Got it by one of the nice big screen, 7-inch big screen. Got it all on the wall, and people set it on the wall. And he was all ready. Got the remote out. Amen. Click for it to come on. Click.
All right.
Click. He was there. So he made sure the remote had battery. So maybe the battery. He went down to use battery, put battery in the remote. Clicked again. He called me and said, y'all done sold me this TV. Y'all gave me a defective TV. This thing won't work. The people on the phone, well, sir, he said, what are you doing? You see, we got it up, and I got it mounted on the wall, and I'm clicking, but it won't give me a picture. He said, did you turn it on? Yeah, I got it turned on. He said, but do you plug it in? Because if it's not plugged in, just like the branch that's not on the tree, just like, amen, the arm without blood, the TV does not have, because that's where it gets its life from, the channel of electricity that flows. Sometimes we'll try to live the Christian life without relying and depending on Christ and His Spirit. You cannot live the Christian life in a way that God gives glory and you're fruitful without the Holy Spirit's fullness. Now, the Holy Spirit fullness does not mean that you have more of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit's fullness does not mean that you have more of the Holy Spirit. It's not like, okay, if you had to have maybe a gallon of your food. It's not like, hey, Brother Faber got a half gallon. Brother Rob got 3/4 of a gallon. And I got a full gallon, so I'm full. No. God does not, the Holy Spirit is a person, and He does not come in amounts. He does not come in ounces, a gallon, or half a gallon. He's a person. So when we say being full with the Holy Spirit, it's not talking about how much of the Holy Spirit you have. It's talking about how much of you does the Holy Spirit have.
All right.
You understand what I'm saying?
All right.
That's the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Paul said we ought to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what he talks about in Ephesians 5:18. He's basically, when you get in the Greek, which is the original language, that be content, be being filled. It ought to be a continual. Hey, you, now you're baptized in the Spirit, we put you in the body only one time, but you have the fullness of the Holy Spirit is something that you have to have every day. You have to let the Holy Spirit have control every day. You got to ask Him to come in and fill you and empower you to be what God created you to be on a day-by-day basis and yield to His power. Don't resist it. Don't quit. You know when you quit the Holy Spirit? It's like quitting a fire. You quench the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit is telling you to do something or to act a certain way. The Holy Spirit tells you to win it.
Not
that Holy Spirit. Not that. Right, right. Telling you to win. Or now, amen. Don't grieve it.
Yeah.
Grieve it when you're doing something. He's saying, and the Holy Spirit is saying,
right.
He's saying, that you're doing is going to get you in trouble. Stop doing it. And you go ahead and do it anyway. That's grieving. Grieving is when the Holy Spirit says stop and you still want to go.
Yeah.
Resisting, quitting is when the Holy Spirit says go, you say, no. I'm stopping.
Yeah.
Filled with it, you're saying, okay, Holy Spirit, whatever you say, I'm with you. If you say go, I'm going. If you say stop, I'm stopping. Okay? That's when you feel hurt. He has complete control. And that's when the fruits of the Spirit. Now, when you do that, that's the same thing as abiding. Because you're depending on God's Spirit that's in you. That Holy Spirit is like the holy sap of the tree. And you're depending on that to help you act and grow the fruit of the Spirit. Help you be patient and kind and loving and have self-control and meekness. All that comes from God. Don't try to do that on your own. You have to do it. So that's what a body is. Everybody got to understand what a body is. That's what I need to go a little bit more. I don't know if y'all got it or not. We hope so. Because that's such a key principle. I'm saying it's a key principle. You have to abide. If you don't abide, you won't be as fruitful as God would have you be. But if you abide, you have much fruit. In the law, as a Christian, you ought to grow. There ought to be a pattern of growth. The Bible talks about that. Because it says, abide, you will have fruit. Keep abide, keep letting the Holy Spirit have control. You have a little bit more fruit. Keep continually abide, let the Holy Spirit fill you, take your life. You will have much fruit. And I told you last time, if you rather than let the Holy Spirit control you, you let them, that flesh control you. The flesh got spit. The flesh had fruit too. You start out with anger. That's the fruit. Then you get more fruit. You even got up to hate. And then and finally you get much fruit. You done murdered somebody. You may not murder them physically, but you murder their character. Or you sacrifice them in order to get what you want. Which is the opposite of love. Love is when you sacrifice yourself for the good of others. Hate is the opposite of that when you sacrifice others for your good. To get where you want to go, to get what you want. So body, we want. So keep that in mind, body. Now, let's go to the text, so I can try to break this down quickly. My little children, this is Paul. Paul, the elder apostle. Paul probably the only one of the 12 left at this time, because he's an elder and he's kind of the leader. He talks to us like his children. This is my little children. And I'm up at 18 now. This is the last quarter, the last verse from last week. I need to go back to that. Let us not love in word or in tongue. Y'all see that?
Right.
Let us not love with word or tongue. But in deed and in truth. Don't just talk about love. But love. Love ought to be something that's practical. See, in our vision statement, we talk about envisioning ourselves as a loving community of disciples. Y'all may not remember that now. I started weaving, so we can remember it. But it says in the third part, we envision ourselves as a loving community of disciples. But that statement in our vision statement don't make us a loving church.
Amen.
It's how we treat one another.
Yeah.
Just because when you come through that front door and you see the big vision statement up there that says that does not necessarily make it true.
Amen.
We have to make that true.
Yeah.
That's what Paul is saying. Don't just have it on them. Don't just have it on the balance, but practice it. Let me see how you practice it in real life. And I'm telling you this morning, the best way to practice it in real life is not to depend on you, but to depend on the Holy Spirit producing it in you. Get that life from Christ. Y'all with me?
All right.
Y'all several longer than it needs to be. All right. So don't be y'all made it long. Okay, here we go. 8:19. And by this we know that we are of truth. And by what? What we just said. By having that love. By having that love, and then on earth, you go way back to the beginning, verses 3. Not only do we love like God loves sacrificially, but in the beginning it says we are righteous because we are born of God. Amen. If you are born of God, you're righteous because He is right. Yes. You got to, in other words, it's like a real family. When you're born of somebody, you got family resemblance. Amen. You want to resemble, if you've been born of a person, there had to be some resemblance in the person that was born. Amen. When you're born of God, when we're born again, because our Father is righteous, then ought to be in us. Yes. And because our Father loves sacrificially, we ought to love sacrificially. Yes.
Amen.
Okay. Okay, now listen. That's what's called congruence. That means it fits. Some things fit and some things don't fit. What you mean, Pastor? If I saw a dog climbing a tree, I said, that don't fit. That's not congruent. That's not the way it's supposed to work. If I saw President Obama marching with white supremacists in a Confederate flag,
Wow.
You said, that don't fit.
Right.
Something incongruent. That's why we're incongruent. If I saw President Trump and he got a Black Lives Matter sign, he protested with Black Lives Matter. It's not congruent in that situation. Something in that situation is out of place. I'm trying to help y'all get this. If I saw a fish, fine. Fish flying don't fit. If I saw a bird underwater, I'd say it's incongruent. See what I'm saying? It's like having apples on a banana tree. It don't fit. So if God is my Father and He's righteous, if it's going to fit, I ought to be.
Right.
Y'all right?
Right?
If He showed sacrificial love, then I ought to show. Because I'm in Christ. So if Christ gave His life sacrificially, and He loved us like that, and I'm getting my life from Him, then that same thing should be in my life. That's what I call congruency. So as a Christian, I have a contradiction. This is what I'm saying. Contradictions ought to bother you. If I'm a Christian, and my Father is righteous, when I experience unrighteousness or sin in my life, it ought to bother me. If I'm a Christian, child of God, I'm in Christ. Christ loved us so much he gave his life on the cross. And then there's hatred. In my life, there's an income, something that's contradicting one another. It's like Trump and the Black Lives Matter, or Obama with the rebel flag. It don't fit. It's not supposed to be like that. It can't work like that. It's like a fish flying. It don't fit. It's like the birds swimming underwater. It ain't gonna work. And then all the bars. Listen to this. Here it comes. Verse 20. For if our heart condemns us. Y'all see that? Anyway, your heart, you're having a heart, what I call a spiritual heart attack. Because your heart is attacking you. And saying you are not a child of God. Your own heart is saying, you ain't no child of God. Now look here. Remember, John started out saying, my little children.
Right.
He's talking to other believers.
Right.
And he said, now, believers, when your heart attacks you, you're not a child of God. But he's talking to believers. Mm-hmm. But the heart is condemning them, saying, you're not a child of God. Mm-hmm. Why? Does that happen? Because of the contradiction. There's a sin event. Maybe there's a sin. Contradiction comes when there's a sin event in your life.
Right.
When you sin.
Amen.
You say, Now what happened? Everybody got, in your own mind, you got big sins and little sins in your own mind. Depending on how your family brought you up. What might have been a big sin in Ernie's family might not have been that big in my family.
All right.
So what was say, if lying was a big sin in Ernie's family, wasn't that big a deal in my family? When I lie, it may not bother me as, it's going to bother me, but it may not bother me as much.
Right.
Okay? Now, if in my family, sexual sin will be, but they want it to be in any defense.
Right.
Then, something like adultery may not be as serious. It's all, now it's serious. I'm just showing you how it works. But when that, especially when that sin is something your family would say, wrong, every day, every single day, they say, wrong, oh, that's the most terrible thing you ever do.
Right.
And you do it, and you're a child of God. Your heart will condemn you and say, I know, see, you ain't saved. Sometimes your family might say, sometimes your family, you ain't saved. No.
Right.
When your heart condemns you, and the reason why your heart is condemning you, because you're acting out of character.
Let me say this
before I go too far. It's like, when it says, it's like there's a alarm goes off.
Right.
When a believer sins, an alarm goes off. I'm wrong.
Right.
It ought to be unsettling.
Yeah.
Oh, God, what's wrong?
Amen.
Can I get rid of this? It ought to be something in your spirit that when you sin, it's unsettled.
Yeah.
An alarm goes off if you're a believer. So, I can kind of see now why John says, my little kid, Christians, your heart, if your heart, or some translation, when your heart can finish. Because an unbeliever, you don't believe in God, you don't follow, you're not a follower of Christ, you won't even have no alone.
Absolutely.
When you sin, the sin don't bother you.
Right.
When you let it in any kind of way, you just gonna have a good time. You gonna live like you wanna live because you know, one of these days I'm going to die, and at least that I enjoy my life. You just live for the day. Nothing bothers you. And that's okay. Because that's the way it is for a sinner. A sinner, don't be surprised when people that are lost act lost. Don't be surprised when people who are dominated by sin in their lives and are slaves to sin act. They're not being contradicted. They're just being, like I said, why go? They're just being congruent with who they are. That's who they are. Now let's throw this in for free. When they tell you who they are, you need to believe. Because sometimes, oh, that ain't who I can change. No, when they tell you who they are, believe, because you're going to see a pattern. There's going to be a pattern of sin a lot of times when they're unbelievable. Different is, like we said, that it's the event. But sin in the life of a believer is an exception and not the rule.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? Y'all understand about that? It's like, if snow fell in June, it could happen.
Yeah.
But it would be an exception. Because it ain't going to happen every year. It may not happen in a decade. It may not happen in another 50 years. It was an exception. But now being hot in you, that's the rule. That's not what all the time. Sin in a believer's life is like an exception. That's why they get unsettled by it. Yeah. You get unsettled. None of us believe with sin to stay. But you get unsettled by the ones that God has brought to your consciousness. And you thought you had got past. You thought you had got over. And then they regained their reign. And it bothers you, causes you to be unsettled in your heart. Says something wrong with you. You don't have it. But you do have it because John is talking to believers. John is talking to believers, so you have it. And the fact that you bothered by sin, when you get, if you sin and sin bothers you, be happy. God, I thank you for sin. Because if I sin and it bothers me, I'm being bad shit.
Right.
One of the things about hey, the fact that it bothers me, saying hey, there's a spirit in me that won't let me live any kind of way. That's the difference. Sin bothers, unsettles, alarms Christians more than it does unbelief. Just hey, saying that way a lot. Christians go out and fall down drunk. Next day on the world. Unbelievable. Oh man, had a good time last night. You see, it's a whole different mindset.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
We said, oh God, I didn't embarrass myself, I done messed up, I'm blue. They waited for the night. I had a good time last night, and I'm gonna have a good time again tonight. Whole different attitude towards sin. Whole different attitude. So, and then also there's a trend. If you're a believer, there's a trend. There's in your life. There is an a foundation of your life trends toward righteousness. Every day you should be sinning less.
Yes, yes.
Sinning less. Sinning less. Sinning less. If you're abiding, because if you're abiding, you become more godly. You're godly, more godly, much godly, when you're abiding. So what I'm trying to say to you, when you don't abide, when you don't depend on God to fill you with his life so you live the Christian life, When you're not allowing the Spirit to have control in your life, and then you're living out the flesh, and flesh stuff show up in your life, you begin to doubt whether you're really a child of God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Let me see. Go back. For if our heart condemns us. Now go back up to 19. And by this we know that we are of the truth. And shall. Y'all see that? Assure our hearts before him. Assure comes from a word that means to tranquilize. You know sometimes you got certain mental issues, you need someone to tranquilize, calm you down, to kind of give you peace. That's what the word is assure. So it says, when you see yourself loving like Christ loved, it brings assurance, a tranquility to your heart. Because you had a heart attack. Because you messed up, get your heart attack. But then you said, wait a minute, your heart said, something wrong with you, messed up. But then when you see how God love is coming through you, these, oh yeah, I'm his. It brings tranquility to your heart. What I'm saying, the point I'm trying to make, is the more you abide, and the more you see that love and righteousness in your life, the more assurance you're going to have. People that abide are going to have a whole lot of assurance. Because they will see God moving in their life in mighty ways. People who don't abide, don't depend on the Spirit, try to live it on their own, in their own strength, they mess up a lot, and they will have a lot of times when they say, I don't know if I'm saved, I'm not saved, I had saved, I'm full saved, I'm dirty saved. Why? Because even though they may be saved, if they're really children of God, but if they're not depending on His Holy Spirit, and they're not getting their life and relying on God, they're trying to do it in their own strength. You cannot do it in your own strength. Seven times. I want to make sure I went different seven times so y'all can hear. Seven times. You cannot do it in your own strength. You cannot live a Christian life. I'm telling you from experience, you can't live it in your own strength. If you try to live it in your own strength, you're going to fall, and then your heart going to condemn you. And you can wonder. But as long as you're depending on Him, His Spirit is filling you, you see the fruit begin, you love Him like God love, you see righteousness, you see a trend, that brings you assurance and calms your heart. And you know you're His. And because you got congruence, you got confidence. Because you know you're here. That's why I said, abide. Now, another part of abiding is, because abide means to remain, stay, be at home. Right. I told you that. It's abiding is all about hanging out with Jesus. You got to hang out with Him. Hang out with God, hang out with Him. Spend time with Him. Talk to Him.
Yes.
Let Him talk to you. Love Him. Let Him love you. Experience love. That's what this whole series is about. I want you to experience God's love. Because so often, as believers, we receive, and just living in this world, even if you're not a believer, even people that are not believers, there's often, there's growing up a human being, you're going to have a whole lot of rejection. But knowing that God loves you. Just knowing, if you just get into His presence, let Him love you. Healing comes in His presence as He loves you. Hanging out with Him. And what happens when you're hanging out with Him? I told you, you be hanging out as a friend, you've been hanging out with God. Now there's a different kind of respect when you hang out with God.
Absolutely.
Let me show you one thing while I'm thinking about it. Go back and look at them exact verses. Exact what verse is. Verse 19, and by this we know that we are the truth and shall assure our hearts. He said, you assure your hearts. Y'all see that word before? Is that in y'all Bibles?
Amen.
Before him. That means you're hanging out with you before. You're somewhere where you experience his presence. And any time you're experiencing his presence, you become real sensitive about your sin. If you ain't in his presence, it's like Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet. But oh, when Isaiah got in his presence, Isaiah said, I'm a prophet. But woe is me, I'm a wreck and undone.
Right. Amen.
My mouth is messed up. Stuff I say is messed up. And not only me, but all these folks I've been hanging out with, because you become like who you hang with.
Yes. Amen.
And if you become like who you hang with, what's gonna happen when you hang with God? But then that's the one we want to hang with. We want to hang with the folks that don't mess us up. Hang out with God. And when you hang out with God, you see things about God that just amaze you.
Yeah.
Wow, God. Ooh, you're something else. And then you say, that love, where you love God, that's something else where you love. I ain't never seen nothing like that. And then you say, you know what, God? You begin to admire that. Like we love. I want to love like that. But I know I can't do it on my own. I'm going to love like you. You will have to help. You will have to be empowered to do it. But I'm trying to do it. But you did. And you do it all the time. So she will have to do it. Oh, how kind. You see how kind God is. Oh, I want to be kind. Like
yes.
Oh, you see how patient God is. God, I be getting impatient.
Lord have mercy.
I be getting impatient. Standing there in that line and walking.
Yes.
It didn't happen. Oh, see, now I'm going to get off on my own. I'm going to get into my own brokenness. I'm sorry. But I see how patient God you are with people. Because if I was you, the way some of you be that, I've been cooking up for a long time ago. Matter of fact, God, the way I am, I don't even know why you let me hang around.
Yeah, amen.
I want to be able to be patient like you, God. I like that. But you're so patient, you give people a chance to get better. Grace gives them room. That's what I think about God's grace. God's grace gives you room to grow. So don't take grace for granted. God give you grace so you can grow.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, you know, you just want to sin. And you say that's what grace is for. That's not what grace is for. Grace is God giving you room to grow, to become the person he created you to be.
Yeah.
Don't take grace for granted. Take grace seriously. And you can thank God. Give him another chance. Blue, but you give him another chance. And you're helping me to do it. Now I can get it right the next time. You gave me a fresh start.
Yes, thank you, Father.
Do it again.
Thank you, Lord.
You learn. You get all that when you spend time with him.
Amen.
You spend time with him. When you're before him and you're his and God ceases to be an ideal, and like the choir was saying, he becomes real. Because God is more than an ideal that you believe in. You don't know ideal. Ideal means it's just an ideal. God is more than an ideal you believe in. He's a person, amen, that you know. It's in that time you spend with him. Talking, sharing with him. That he ceases to ideal and starts with being real. Do you really? Jesus real?
Yes.
I know he's real.
Yeah,
yeah. He's just not an idea.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I had a witness again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you spend time with him, he's just not an idea. Because an idea, you don't talk to an idea.
Amen.
If you're in your right mind.
Amen.
And an idea don't talk to you.
Right.
And an idea, you can't tell an idea about your situation.
Yeah.
And the idea work out your situation.
Yeah.
You can tell an idea that you're sick and you bring healing and you get well. You can't tell an idea that a door sold and have that door open for you. You realize because of your experience and it's been with him, he's more than an idea that you believe, but he's a person that you know. Oh, I wish I had a word on this one here. But I tell you, he's more than an idea. Because if it wasn't an idea, amen, that took my punishment, it wasn't an idea that marched up Calvary's Hill. It wasn't an idea that they nailed to an old record cross. It wasn't an idea that they buried in a borrowed tomb and he stayed there 3 days. And one Sunday morning, he got up. He wasn't an idea. He's a person. He's alive. He lives. I know he lived because I talked to him this morning.
Yes,
hallelujah. I know he lived because he woke me up and started me on my way.
Yes,
thank you.
It's real. He's real. And because that is when I abide in him, when I abide in him and I see he's real, because what he's doing through my life, then the Bible says in our verses, you get confidence.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
See, it's a difference between confidence and arrogance.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Oh, I wish I had a witness.
Amen.
When you're arrogant, you think you can do it on your own.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you do something good, yeah, it's me.
Yeah.
It's me. I'm honest.
Yeah.
I'm the one that I got integrity.
Jesus.
I'm down. But I realize whenever I see the attributes, it's not because I'm that. It's because he's working in me.
Yes, yes.
So don't get arrogant. I'm not arrogant. The Holy Spirit can't use an arrogant person. Because an arrogant person won't get a Holy Spirit room to take control.
Yeah.
An arrogant person, I don't need the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I can live a Christian life on my own. I'm great all by myself. But it's not arrogance, it's confidence. When you're confident, he said you can approach his throne and you got confidence because he's at work.
Yes.
Confidence that it's not me, but it's him at work. See, then you can, then when you pray before him, you can ask him. Let me read, because this is a parable, and I'm going to go ahead and close it out. I know y'all thought I was already closing. Why y'all got so happy? Oh, he been a close? No, going on over. 21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us. Heart not condemn us no more.
Yes.
Amen. We done quieted it. It done got peace and tranquilized. Because we realized even though we made a mistake, we never had a sin, we blew it, failed God, disappointed God, but yet we look at the overall thing of what God is doing in our life and where our life is trending, and we said even though our heart condemn us, but God is greater. He's still talking to me.
Yes, yes.
God is greater than our heart. Our heart sometimes is like that prodigal son's heart. He said, when he messed up, he's out there in the hall pen. He said, I'm going to go home. And his heart said, he don't even want you no more. Your daddy don't even want you at heart. Your daddy don't want you to call you son no more. You spend up all his money. So he's going home. Yeah. He probably don't want me a son no more. Maybe I can get a job. And he walked his dad, and his dad sees him.
Yeah.
And his dad said, oh, it's my boy. Yeah. And he come running out there with the robe and the rain and the slippers. Said, yes, son! He didn't get a chance to say his speech. He didn't work on his speech.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And he don't even get a chance to say his speech because his father said, no, boy, you ain't gonna work with me. You'll see my son. Matter of fact, I'm gonna have a party. We gonna have a barbecue. Somebody go get, no, we ain't getting ready because of Jewish. Somebody go get the beef.
Abraham. Yeah. Amen. Because we're going to celebrate that my son is at home.
So, see, what I'm saying, his heart is condemning. Say, you ain't worth nothing.
Yeah.
He ain't want you back no more.
Yeah.
He not even going to be your daddy no more. He might let you have a job if you obey. But that wasn't God's attitude toward him. He was still his son. And God celebrated his repentance coming to himself. He came, but he had to come to himself. He had to come to himself. And then he came back, boy. Now, even though he had went out and done all that, now he comes back and God will fix him up. But you got another one at home that didn't have confidence. He had arrogance. He said, wait a minute, Dad. That's when I spent all the money up and did all this. I've been here working hard. But I'm moral right. I got the moral house. I'm sitting right and all this. How are you going to give him? And he's been out, you know, chasing women. If you read this, you read the chapter. He's been out there, he's spent all his money. And now you give him a party? Something wrong with the other brother, the older brother. He should have been happy too. But the older brother was so arrogant, he wasn't about it. He was doing it in his own strength. In his own strength. Would not let him be happy and would not let him love his brother enough to be glad his brother came home.
God,
God is the only one that kept brothers and sisters in love. Right? It says, when you love like he loved, it assures your heart. You know why? Now, this is why it's so amazing. This is why it's so amazing. I looked at that. Wait a minute. You said when you love like this, it's gonna assure your heart. It's gonna calm your heart down, give your heart beat when you love like this. Wow. That's some kind of love. I don't really think grasp. I don't think we grasp the kind of love he's talking about. I think we just think about the kind of love we're talking about.
Right.
We think love is putting up with somebody. You do it wrong, but I can put up with it.
Yeah.
I can put up with it. This kind of love that he talks about, listen to me, is unique. It's radical and remarkable. It's amazing. It's so radical, remarkable, unique, and amazing. That when you do it, you know it's not you. Now, this love is so amazing, radical, remarkable, even a miraculous, that when you do it, you know it's not you, you know it's God in you. I said, I don't know if I can do that kind of love before.
Jesus.
I might need to buy it a little more.
Jesus.
Amen.
I said, I don't know. I'm trying to work towards this, but I don't think I'm there yet.
Yeah.
I don't think I can love like this. You know? I need to buy a little bit more. I need to spend a little bit more time with you. I need to depend on you more. I can deal with folks. I can keep myself cursing them out. Tolerate their nonsense. Don't talk about them. Try to keep the dollars down, you know. Hug them. Smile at them. Love them. Something so special about this man. You said that when you can do it, you know it's not you. Because it's a miracle. You know it got to be God.
Jesus.
God, help me love like this. It's too amazing for me to even understand.
That's right.
Jesus.
That's right.
But you can't imagine a whole church loving like that.
Lord have mercy.
There was a time for this. During the plagues, 2nd century, 3rd century, 5th century, and 1400s. They had plagues, I think, black plagues in 1400s. There's some other plagues they had named right after Christ.
In all those plagues, there was something amazing about the Christians. In the Roman Empire, when the plague came and folk were sick and dying, they just let them die. Somebody sick and died, you just tried to get away from them. Put them out, but you didn't want to catch what they had. Amen. Sometimes they just pick you out somewhere and leave you. That was the norm. But there were some people that lived in the Roman Empire who were followers of Jesus, who were called Christians. And the thing that was so amazing about these people is that when everybody else was running from the people that had disease and plagues, and nobody would care but the Christians said, we'll take care of them. Even if it's risking our life, even if it's sacrificing our life, we'll take care of them. Love the deed we're talking about. Love to take the risk to be there for your brothers and sisters. That's the kind of love he was talking about. It's risky. I couldn't catch what they got. I couldn't die like they got. Go through all the awful schism that they're going through. But somebody got to care for them.
Yes.
And the critics said, we'll do. Yes. And it so amazed the Romans. Because they had never saw anybody love like this.
Yes.
In the church group. Because people then see, they saw the same thing that Jesus said. By this shall they know ye are my disciples.
Yes.
The love for one another.
Yes.
Love as I have loved you.
Yes.
Be willing to give your life for us. That's the way they do. I want to love in that amazing way. I want all of us, but the key to loving in that way is the back. You don't abide, you won't be able to love like that. You have to spend some time with God. You have to spend some time in God's Word. You have to spend some time developing God's relationship with God's people. And the way you do this is listen. Listen to God's people. When you listen to people who are even different from you, you learn to love. Because you see why they're different. We want people to listen to us. But listen to us. That's why she does that. Oh, that's why she thinks that. Oh, okay. I just thought she was just mean. That's why I never could understand. I say, man, I ain't that bad. You gotta know what she's been through, what he been through, what trauma they had.
Jesus.
That's why he ain't like that, because she's been through some trauma.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I thought he was just, I thought he was just that kind of person, but he'd been traumatized. And I always say, everybody that's saved ain't healed.
Amen.
You're right.
You're right. So you can save people.
Yes.
But they've had some trauma.
Yes.
Some pain and some brokenness in their life.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes that thing is so intense. And you look at the person now, you say, I don't like the person now. But once you get to talk to them, you know what they've been through.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
And you see what God is working because. Even you'll see growth, even though they're broken, traumatized.
Jesus.
Oh, it's better than it was 2 years ago.
Jesus.
They grow.
Right.
And
right.
Then you start encouraging they grow.
Yeah. Thank you,
Bob. You might smell wrong thing on the breath, but you know it. They're getting better. Amen. They're getting better.
Amen.
They're getting better. I'm working on encouraging them. I know they've been trying to go to meetings. They missed a meeting. They blew it. They fell off the wagon again. But I'm not giving up on them. I'm going to tell them, get up. Get back up. Get back into meetings. Get praying. Spend time before God. You can do this thing.
Yes. Yes.
And you keep telling them, they don't care how many times they fail.
Yes.
I'm behind you. I'm with you. I'm loving you. My love is, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm praying for you. That's the way you love. That's the way you love. You get to know people and you love them. Like God loves. God knows you. God knows you intimately.
Yes.
And what did they say?
Yes.
He's not like your heart. He's not like you. Sometimes hearts is like my old car used to have. Hearts don't always tell the truth. I had that old car in a few things I worked. throne is always empty. Even when I put 10 gallons in it. If I put 15 gallons of gas in it, empty. What are you saying? You know why I'm going to empty? Because this gas game was lying to me. And sometimes your heart will lie to you and say, you're not believing. You ain't got it. You're going back out to the world. Keep living like the world. So you ask God to save you 7 times. You ain't been saved yet.
Jesus.
And all the time you're saved, but you didn't need him. He's working on
it.
He done began to work. So don't listen to your heart. But your heart, like I said, you got to have some. You got to have some else. You got to have the word of God. Amen. But what I had to do, because then I couldn't afford to buy a new car. So I had to do some multiplication. I said, I don't know how many miles I'm able to get. Get about 12 miles a gallon.
Yep.
Amen. So if I put 5 gallons, I can probably make it 60, but I'm going to fill up again on 50. Because this day ain't helping me.
Yes.
I have to keep a little paper
there.
I know, hey, until I get it fixed, you got to keep it. Amen. Yeah. So God says, the way we tell, amen. Don't go about with something in your heart. Going to be believing in the word of God. Word of God in 1 John said, hey, listen, it's the total trend of your life. You may have one lane that's out of order. Amen. This is like a 10-lane highway. You may have one lane where there's a backup. But if everything else in your life is going toward righteousness, if everything else in your life is going toward love, if everything in your life is growing, then, he said, you've got to be ready to grow some more.
Yes.
You've got to grow some more. While you're growing, don't worry about it. Just ask him, because if you ask for forgiveness,
yes,
that's what it said in 1:8.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, that one lane where there's a breakdown, that's all right, he's going to send a wreck. A wreck is on the way. He's going to come get it and fix you up. Because he said, he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
All unrighteousness.
So, abide in your assurance. If you struggle with assurance, knowing, abide. But as you abide, you're going to see him more and more in your life to where he becomes somebody you know, not just an idea you believe.
Yeah, yeah.
And when he's somebody you know, ain't nobody going to be able to talk you out of it. Mm-mm. And that's telling me, I was talking to somebody, say, hey, such a bug don't exist. Such a bug is in your life. I said, oh, that's such a bug. You can't tell me something, but it don't make sense.
Amen.
You don't believe it. You let me say kid. She smiled. Amen. So I'm praying for me now. I know she ain't sick. Amen. When it's cold, she'll let me know it's cold. Pass y'all because you want it. You can't tell me something, but it don't make sense. And when my team lose, she'll be the first one to go. Pastor William, them warriors. I know, because you know that person. Can't nobody tell you that person don't exist? And it's the same thing with Jesus. I know he lives. Ask me why I know he lives, because he lives with me. Oh my goodness. Because he loves me when nobody else would love me. He made me everything I am.
Yeah,
amen. The God of the universe, one that when everybody rejected me, he caught me and made me somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
Woo! When everybody else said, they didn't want me on the team, he said, come on, you can be on my team. Because I got a job for you. I got a position for you to play.
Yeah.
Because I designed you. The reason why everybody else didn't want you, because I didn't want them pulling me away from what I got for you to do.
Right.
You thought you were being rejected, but you were being selected by me, and I made everybody else reject you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Jesus.
Oh, you were mine.
Yes, sir.
And I had something special for you. Come on, sister musician.
Jesus.
If you're here, I want to give you the opportunity, the privilege. Today's your day. The connection count is going to come forth. Connection count is going to come forth. You need to connect with God, connect with the church, or you need to connect with them and pray. They'll be up here to pray with you, give you instructions on how to be a member of the church.